Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, Cairns' most trusted energy retailer, and the new Kia Niro, the electric SUV range. Sam McClure and Matt Granlund with you on this Tuesday evening. Gee, I'll tell you what, racing in Victoria is, you know, close to my heart, Matt, as I'm sure it is a lot of people in this great state. Some great races here, but a lot of the money is going to Sydney. And you can understand why the Manikato is going to be moved when the Everest is the way that it is. Our next guest, Huey Bowman, doesn't need too much of an introduction, but if he was riding here in Victoria, in Melbourne on the weekend, I mean, he's had three Vic Derby winners since 2010. Lion Tamer, Sangster, actually going back-to-back, and Polanski in 13. So he's won three in 4 years there. And now he goes to Rosehill for what is a great race in the Golden Eagle. He's riding the favourite, which is a Melbourne horse, I'm Thunderstruck, with Mick Price. And fair to say, Hugh, as we welcome you in, when there's $7.5 million of prize money on the line, you can understand why you go to Sydney.
Good evening, guys. Yes, it's... it's been a bit difficult this year with the logistics and getting organised. I was lucky enough to get down for the Cox Plate last weekend, but it was a bit hard to really... get myself organised for rides for the Melbourne Carnival this year for that very reason. And, I just thought, well, I don't have a Melbourne Cup ride and this race is similar prize money. I might just stay up here and see if I can figure in that. It'll be my first ride in the Golden Eagle, actually.
So logistically, Hugh, what have you had to do to come to Melbourne and then go back to Sydney?
Last Tuesday, all the restrictions were eased by both the New South Wales and Victorian government. So that's made things a bit easier. But, of course, for these races, you're getting booked up 2-3 weeks in advance, maybe more in some cases, as far as the Melbourne Cup's concerned. So, it was a bit hard to sort of get organised to be in Melbourne. And this year, I thought I'll just stay in Sydney and base myself, and only that I got the late option to ride Malunga in the Cox Plate. I sort of made a late dash down to Melbourne, but we had to go through a bit of red tape to get get the okay from border security to cross the border, and we stayed. Well, James McDonald and I went together and stayed in country Victoria because we couldn't go to Melbourne in order to come back to Sydney. And as I said, that was all ease throughout the process, but when we were getting organised, there was a lot to do.
It was a great ride in Moonga and the Cox Plate finishing fourth. Hugh, what did you make of the protest that went on in front of you?
It was certainly interesting. In my opinion, I would have been very confident had I been Craig Williams in lodging an objection. But from an optimistic point of view, I truly don't think that Animo would have beaten the winner had the interference not occurred. So I'm sure everyone's got their own opinion, but in my opinion, I think the right decision was made. But if I had been on Animo, I would have been very confident of winning that appeal. So it could have gone either way.
Talking about Melbourne and Sydney, Hugh, we were just talking before the break, a lot of talk down here about the veterinary protocols in Melbourne compared to other jurisdictions like Sydney. Is that noticeable? Have you noticed that yourself?
Yes, I have. I really don't know what to say about it, but there's certainly a lot more scrutiny.
Has there been a change?
I'm not sure whether there's been a change, but there's been a constant build of pressure through horses, international horses, succumbing to injury. And, I think, that's out of everyone's control. And it's a difficult one, but I think the pressure's been built by themselves to an extent, and they've had to adhere to their own protocols, and it's just got to a point where, if there's smoke, there's fire, and if the horses aren't 100%, I mean, I'm not suggesting that anyone's made the wrong decision, but there just seems to be a lot of microscope on the process, and whether that's, I've got, no one wants to see an injured horse, I can assure you of that. So it's been a bit of an ongoing thing for a number of years, though, and it's just reached the point that it has.
Hugh, tell us about this pretty special horse, I'm Thunderstruck. Of course, last start winner in the Toorak, probably could have gone chasing for another Group 1 in Derby Day. Instead, Mick Price, who's a Victorian through and through, has gone to Sydney. Capable of pretty special things, this horse.
I think so. I mean, obviously, I haven't had anything to do with him. I've obviously watched him in awe, and he's certainly a talent. He beat the older horses, all comers, the other day, albeit with a pretty attractive weight. But he goes into this race, which is set weights, as a clear favourite. He's drawn the middle of the field, which is ideal. And, yeah, it's certainly, you know, look, it's a race that's going to get legs. And I think it's a race, it's a fantastic concept, because you see a lot of the headline horses, colts in particular, if they achieve at the highest level as two and or 3-year-olds, then they inevitably end up in the breeding barn for reasons that, you know, that's where the big dollars are if you're good enough. But I think races, well, this race in particular, if you can attract horses not to go to stud for an extra 6 months, well, they may as well race on for an extra 12 months. So I think in the future, you're going to see this race get better and better and better.
Have you got a ride for the Melbourne Cup here?
I don't. I will be riding in Sydney for first time in maybe, I don't know, 12 or 15 years on Melbourne Cup Day. But for the same reason that I said before, I mean, to start with, there's only about 3 or 4 horses that have enough weight for me to ride them, because I can't ride under 55. Mm. And even that's rock bottom. So, yeah, and it was a bit difficult to go chasing horses when I didn't even know if I could be in Melbourne or not. So it'll be a good day at Randwick. I think we'll have a bigger crowd at Randwick than they will at Flemington, but one thing they won't have at Flemington is the Melbourne Cup, and it's a shame that I'm not there this year, but hopefully next year we can be back there in all our glory.
So just as a watcher, I want your opinion on Incentivise, right? So we know Must Carry 57 kilograms in unbelievable form. So you have to be a freak pretty much to win the Melbourne Cup carrying 57 kilograms. I think 68 horses have carried 57 or more in the race. Only Maccabi Diva has been able to win. We know a freak.
And Protectionist, I think, carried 56 and a half. It was the heaviest winner since 07, somewhere around that.
So is this
horse... Yeah, but when Protectionist won, the rates were weighed like about 2 kilos.
Yep.
So he was, in fact, weighted with 54. Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly how much I raised, but I know they'll raise a lot. And so, if you want my honest opinion, I think that this... Obviously, it has a huge effect on the race, but I don't think it has as much effect as other influences, such as the pace of the race.
Okay.
And of all those horses that you mentioned that have carried that much weight, there would have been very few that were genuine winning chances. And I think, personally, I know I'm a heavyweight jockey, but I think the weights get read into a little bit too much. And, you know, the pace of the race and conditions on the day, such as wind factor, barrier draws. But the biggest thing is the tempo. And I've never ridden in a race consistently that can have the pace or the race run at such a different pace. And, you know, really, the year Protectionist won, they went so quick from the outset, and he just sat back and swooped through them. I think he can win with 57. I really do. And I wouldn't be reading into the weight too much myself.
Hugh, just as we let you go, who won the golf game between you and James McDonald in Yarrawonga last week?
I won the game, but he won the money. So
how does that work?
You're playing hole by hole, I assume?
Hole by hole.
Yeah.
He won the first two. I came out on top on the third one. I should have upped the ante.
Yeah.
He was playing too well. I just didn't have the confidence.
Yeah,
it was a good week away. It was a good prep for the Cox Plate, and it was certainly an alternative preparation than what we're used to, but we did what we had to do, and unfortunately James's horse was scratched, which was devastating for him and of course Annabelle and the owners, and actually I really felt for them all, but anyway, that is what it is, and another example of the precautions taken. You know, as soon as that horse had a temperature that morning, there was no hesitation for Annabelle to scratch him.
Mm.
And I think that's a fine example of, you know, there was no bet involved there. That was her and her decision, and you can imagine how hard that would have been having to do that. But she did the best thing by the horse, as all trainers in the industry do.
No doubt. Hugh, it's a great privilege to have you on. You're a Hall of Famer. You're a great giver to this program, and we look forward to your spring, even though most of it might be in Sydney. We'll forgive you. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, guys. See you later.
Hugh Bowman, champion jockey. More Sports Day with Matt Cranlin after this.